ओम शांति। Daddy is definitely the creator of drama, because at 6 o'clock this morning she came looking for me and then said, it would be good to go up the mountain and share some of the things that I've been sharing with you over the last couple of days. And I'm leaving this afternoon, and so I said, okay. I know that if we say yes, then everything works out anyway. So a little bit of rearrangement with everything, and here I am. And Sister Rajni told me that the topic for today is the spirit of happiness. And I'd like to give you greetings for the festival of Diwali, the festival of lights, which is also the festival of the new year. And just as Christmas or Hanukkah or any other new year is a time for family gatherings, giving of gifts, sharing of sweets, and a celebration in the spirit of happiness, Diwali is very much this in India also, or in fact with Bharatvasis across the world. And in fact I heard that for the last 10-12 years now, Diwali has been celebrated in a big way in the UK. Some of you know the geography of London. We have a big square called Trafalgar Square, which was the celebration of victory in the Battle of Trafalgar. But in that square, lots of big events happen. And about 10-12 years ago, the local government decided that they could have a Diwali celebration there. And so from a gathering of 20,000, now it's become a gathering of around 40,000. And about 10-12 Hindu organizations come together to do this every year. So it's great in terms of cooperation and creating that spirit of cooperation. But over the years, they've gradually trust to learn and depend on the skills of the BKs. So this year, we had two BKs backstage managing everything. We had a BK as the MC for the whole program. And usually we've had a message from Daddy. And this year, that didn't happen, but somehow, I don't know how, but we had a BK give a message on behalf of the Brahma Kumaris. So BK presence was very, very visible. And that's just a few of the things I've mentioned, many other things also. So even though it was another organization hosting it, and each year a different organization hosts it, yet they wanted us to do backstage, they wanted us to do front stage. So it becomes a great platform for Baba's vibrations to reach out in the spirit of happiness. But also I heard that President Obama has started to have Diwali celebrations at the White House. So Diwali is growing and the world is beginning to recognize the power of Diwali. I remember a few years ago, I was carrying, you know, those big tins you get in India, and London class for Diwali would be about 500. So I was carrying a couple of these big tins filled with toli, and normally the customs would stop you and say, what is this? But in this case, the woman customs officer looked at this and said, Diwali sweets? I said, yes. So I didn't even have to explain, she knew. So Diwali is very much up in the air. And today you'll have a very spectacular celebration, I'm sure. And I'm sorry to miss it, but I'll join you in the spirit of Diwali happiness anyway. But the subject that I want to talk about is, how come we are not able to keep the spirit of whether it's Diwali or Christmas or New Year or Hanukkah or whatever it is we're celebrating, how come you're not able to keep it alive all the time? Last season, Baba asked us, can you make sure that you maintain happiness all the time, constantly? And of course, if I maintain happiness, then I'm going to be able to give happiness. And if I don't maintain happiness, how am I going to give? And the other side of the picture, if you've been through anything that's caused you sorrow, whatever it may be, do you feel like doing service at that time? Do you have the capacity to do service at that time? Maybe you've given a commitment and there's an appointment and you're supposed to go give the course and you want to honor that, and so you're talking and you're telling the person, well, you know, you're a soul, not a body, and and your heart is in your boots. What sort of impact does that have? They'll probably say, well, I'm happy without knowing I'm a soul, not a body. I'm happy as I am, because you won't have been able to convey the spirit of what Baba's giving you. And so they'll say, okay, you keep what you have and we're going to keep what we have. Basically, it's not going to be anything very attractive for them. It's going to be, you know, or you carry on and I'll do what I need to do. And so, really, if there's happiness, then with that power of happiness, then you're going to be able to share something of value with another. And you think about any of the dadis, and maybe the things they're actually saying are things you know already, but the enthusiasm and the love with which they say it, the happiness with which they say it, and you enjoy it. And I think you all know the statistic pretty well, that the impact of what you actually say is 20%. And the impact of what you don't say, but yet you are the being that you're radiating, that creates an impact of 80%. I'm sure you all know the statistic. Because think about it for yourself. How much do you actually remember from the first lesson that you heard? Letitia Ben? I'm sure there's space here. Sharona, if you make space for Sister Letitia. So, when you think about the first lesson you heard or the first lecture you heard that tempted you to come back for more, do you actually remember what was said? Not so much, but you remember the feeling it gave you and the vibrations you were filled with. And so we know from experience that who you are and what you are is conveyed And whatever it is that's in your awareness and consciousness is what reaches others rather than the words you speak. And so, how can I keep this awareness and this spirit of happiness and joy of having found Baba constantly alive within my consciousness? And I want to connect some of the things that I picked up from Dadi over the last couple of days. And the two words that she's been most interested in are the words that are a carry-on from the NCCC retreat, Chit. And we usually translate it as the memory track. And it's that which is filled within myself and recorded within myself that then informs other things. But she's connected it with another word, and maybe you don't know this word in terms of the Hindi language, but certainly you know it in terms of the context. And the word is vritti. Who knows what the word vritti means? Interesting. Non-Hindi speakers are telling me that they know. That's good. So vritti means attitude. And it's connected with another very interesting word, which is vrittant, which means an event. And where the two words link together is the breakdown of this word for event is vrittant, the end of vritti. And so my attitude and the end result of my attitude is the event. Very interesting, isn't it? So what it's saying is that my attitude is the cause of something to happen. It's my attitude that then results in that particular event. So it's beginning to tell us many things. And this word vritti is also the word that's connected very much with this whole sequence that you've definitely heard, and you'll recognize the sound and the feeling. Vritti, drishti, kriti, and then srishti. My attitude, my vision, and then my actions, and then the world. And so my actions actually create the world. And within all of that is also another word, smriti, awareness. And awareness is a very important subject, smriti, that comes up a lot in the Muralis. It also comes up right at the end of the Gita, the final stage that you've been able to achieve. Smriti Labdha, Nashtamoha Smriti Labdha, the destroyer of attachment and the one who's got full awareness, has recovered full awareness. And it's of course the awareness of one. And it's always been a puzzle for me. Is it vritti and then smriti? Or is it smriti and then vritti? Is it awareness that leads to attitude? Or is it attitude that leads to awareness? And really, you can make out a case for both. You can. And anyway, jnana circular. And so it goes round, one thing leads to another, and it connects. So, not a problem, whichever way it is, But yet I was curious, and the question I put to Dadi was, what creates vritti? Because I didn't want to put it as either or to her. I just wanted to give it space. And so, what is it that's creating my attitude? Because attitude is subtle, but how did I create a particular attitude in the first place? And her answer was very, very simple. But then it covered many other things. And her answer was, whatever is the quality of your thought and the pattern of your thinking, that creates your attitude. And so if your thoughts are pure, elevated, positive, and you're engaged in that work, it's very subtle work that's going on inside, and the challenge is that it's work that needs constant attention. Your attention slips a little bit, and bang, what's happened? Something from out here has crept in, or something from within, sanskars of the past have jumped out, and a whole train of other things have started. And so, why I need Amrit Vela to make my mind very elevated and strong. Why I need Amrit Vela. I need to keep my intellect very powerfully linked with Baba right from the start of the day, so that then it's going to support me through the day. Why I need Baba's Murli, so that there's fuel being put in every single morning that's going to be able to sustain the pure thoughts that I would like to have. And it's work of constant, not just attention, but constant creativity, so that I don't get bored with it. So it's not like I'm repeating, I'm a soul, I'm a soul, I'm a soul, and I think that's going to make my thoughts pure and elevated. Probably not. But I need to be creative in the way I approach my mind. And there's a term that actually comes in Hindi, which manovritti. It tells us that both of these things are linked together. What's going on in the mind is what is created in the attitude. And if I don't pay attention to generating pure, elevated thoughts, and that means just continually keeping Baba's Gyan in my awareness, there's no way I can keep my attitude clean and pure. And then, of course, if I'm not keeping my attitude clean and pure, then other things come in and my happiness disappears. And at the time when I'm keeping my thoughts pure and elevated, it's absolutely a fact. Yes, my attitude is very clean, but it also means that the feeling that I have is of being great, of being on a high, of great happiness. And when you think about the definition of yoga, and it's a definition of yoga that Jagdish Bhai used to talk a lot, because he had studied all the scriptures, so he was accessing those things. And he would often tell us that the definition of yoga through the scriptures, the texts on the subject of yoga, say that yoga is that power with which you're able to remove all the negative tendencies of the chit and the vritti. And yoga is that power with which you're able to become the ones who can discipline the chit and vritti. And so that's the subject we're really into at the moment now. When Baba's talking about the power of the mind and how it is we need to increase the power of the mind, Baba's taking us into very subtle territory to be able to really go deep within ourselves. And I think maybe one of the first steps is to just simply accept me and what's going on in my world as my own responsibility. On the one side, basic first lesson, first step. But on the other side, after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, there's still the comment, because of so-and-so, this is what's happening to me. Not interested. Because this happened, that's why this is happening. External, external, external. When am I going to get to the internal work, the inner work? And if I don't do it now, when else am I going to do it? And if I don't come to the inner work, I stay on the external, the whole of Sangam Yuga can go by, and I'll still say, well, because of so-and-so, I'm not really able to be happy. And this precious, valuable time will have slipped away through my fingers. You know how you catch sand and it slips away and just a few grains remain. Well, that's why they show time running out like sand. I don't know whether you have it in your country, but certainly in some countries they have this little timer and you turn it around and the sand is full and slowly, slowly it comes out, and it's a time measurement, not in terms of seconds and minutes, but some sort of time measurement. But that's what it's about, that time slips away, and at the end of Sangam Yuga, I can still be complaining about this one, that one, and the other one, and this thing, that thing, and the other thing. And that's what I've done to myself. I've missed out on the opportunity of accumulating happiness and sharing happiness with others and creating my fortune through that. Why don't you just come and sit on the steps? It's a good place to sit. So, now, the inner work. And the inner work is to accept that I'm responsible for what's happening in my mind. I'm responsible for what's happening within my attitude. I'm responsible for what's emerging in my memory. And because I'm responsible for what's happening in my attitude, bang, I'm responsible for the event. Vritti, vrittant, the event. Absolutely. The way I approach someone is going to determine the outcome. And then I'll say, but you see, I told you so. I know they were like that. Anyway, it was a waste of my time talking to them. You've heard things like this, haven't you? Maybe you've said it yourself. Or something not very pleasant happens, and again the comment is, you see, I told you so. I knew it was going to be like this. They call it a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the Hindi is very explicit. My attitude. And my attitude came from my thoughts. My thoughts, my attitude created that situation. So, it's not a burden, thinking I'm responsible. No, it's actually a key to freedom. So that I can take charge of what's going on inside. Again, that he said something very beautiful, and that was this morning. She said, I know I am in charge of my thoughts. Only the thoughts that I allow, only the thoughts that I want will come. How many of us are able to say that? I know I'm not. So I'm not putting it as a challenge to you. I'm pointing out that we're witnessing quite an amazing transition. We're witnessing the transition of a Brahmin who's been dedicated to Baba for the whole of her life. Actually now explain to us the secrets of the angelic stage. I think everybody must have noticed that Daddy has really moved on to another level. And she really isn't here in a sense. Physically, the body is fragile, but somehow soul and body are still together and she's here. But in terms of her mind and the way she's thinking, she's on another plane. And the beautiful thing is that you've heard other people talk about how in the last few months of Sakar Baba, we were seeing a human, yet not a human, an angel. Many have shared those stories with you. It's the same for Daddy at this point. And I'm not putting a time frame on it because I've seen her nearly go, even just 2 days ago. And then she suddenly jumped up and came up the mountain and I was absolutely stunned. How does she do it? One moment she's totally out of action and the next moment she's coming up the mountain and then she's saying, I'm going to do class. So I keep seeing it happen with Daddy that I think that the body is about to give up and then new life comes. But we're seeing someone who's practicing Baba's Gyan so deeply to such an extent that you can see that the transition from Brahman to angel is happening. But she's also describing it. It's like, you know, people who now go on a journey, they're able to keep a log or they're able to keep a film camera with them and everything is recorded and everything is shared. Same thing, that is sharing every step of her journey so that we can see how to move in the same direction. And so a stage in which really, you can say that I am the master of my mind. I know that my mind will not go anywhere unless I give it permission. And then she said, but I'm not yet the master of my dreams. That's very sweet. My dreams are full of service. And You know, one day Hansa was trying to pull her out of bed, and she said to Hansa, "Don't call me now. I'm in the middle of giving Toli." And so in her dreams, she was giving Toli. And in another situation, she said to Hansa, "Why did you call me? I was giving Drishti." So her dreams are just service. But what she's saying is that I don't know which dream is going to come when. And then she said, "What I would like is for even my dreams to become quiet, so that then I can give visions to others through my dreams." Then the next comment was, "I know that already some people see me as a vision in their dreams," and many of you write to her or tell her that I had a dream in which you came, and or I was sitting with Baba and you appeared, and but I want to be able to give visions through my dreams. So very much a human being, but a human being who keeps Baba and Gyan and doesn't allow anything else to come in whatsoever. And you see the result. A soul who is so close to Baba all the time that the angelic form is doing its work. So taking responsibility for my thoughts means that I'm taking responsibility for my attitude also. And now I'm jumping, but a comment continuing with the subject of vritti. And what she said was, if I work on my thoughts and keep them elevated, I'm going to have dreams. I'm going to have an attitude and dreams too, but an attitude that's so elevated and pure. And that's going to create the right atmosphere that changes the attitude of others. Baba Smriti, with your attitude, change the negative attitude of others. And then she spoke about Baba's room in Pandav Bhavan, and how the tapasya that Baba did in that room and the service that Baba did in that room, because the meetings that Baba had were just in two places. One was the hut, but that was in use only some months of the year, and that was usually just for short time. But more, it was Baba's room. So that little room was Baba's bedroom. It was Baba's sitting room. Baba's seating place was the gadi, and something that's not there anymore, a little table with two chairs where we enter that door. And there was a little wall there, and so the little table. So that was also Baba's dining room. So everything was contained in that room. Now ask yourself, how much space do you have? And how much space you think you need? Baba's meeting room was there. Baba's sitting room was there. Baba's tapasya room was there. Everything. So through Baba's tapasya and the pure thoughts and the pure vibrations, the whole atmosphere of Madhuban was created. And of course, today, why we go to that room, we come rushing up the mountain just to spend a few minutes in that room, is because of this. And then, of course, after that, many, many more people have added their tapasya to that room. But the attraction of that room, the magnetism of that room, is through the tapasya and that pure vibration that Baba generated. And so that continues to sustain us till today. And it changes our attitude. You don't have to put up your hand, but I know for a fact how many of us have gone into Baba's room with one attitude, spent a little bit of time there, and our attitude has shifted, and we've come out, our attitude has changed. And so what Baba spoke of in the Murali, you see practically demonstrated in Baba's room. But this is how it works. My elevated thoughts, my elevated attitude, and the more I maintain that and the more power it has, the more it's able to transform the negative attitude of others and generally the world, the vibrations of the world. And if I don't do that, what's happening then? Then she said that it goes the other way, in the sense that either my attitude is one of being impressed by someone, or my attitude is a little bit of dislike for someone. And so that attitude then isn't able to keep me close to Baba. I'm not able to have yoga. And in the stage where it's impressed by someone, or there's the thought, I want to impress someone, and I'm pulling someone, I'm going to create a disturbance in their yoga also. And so what's going on in my thoughts, what's going on in my attitude is connected deeply with my yoga and my tapasya. And so my responsibility to make sure that I keep my thoughts very elevated and my attitude very clean. And then the chit, that comes back in again. Because that again disturbs the purity of my thinking. Here am I using gyan, trying to keep my thoughts very pure, very elevated, trying to keep my buddhi linked with Baba. And yet something triggers a memory. I see someone, I hear someone, and it triggers things, and the effort that I've made to keep my thoughts elevated goes. It's not happened to you, has it? Well, it does. It does happen. But it's the memory track that jumps in and causes mischief, both for my mind as well as for my intellect. And the chitta is saying, they said this 20 years ago. They did this 10 years ago. And so that's jumping up and it's pushing out all the pure elevated thoughts and just those feelings associated with what they said, what they did, comes rushing back. And so what's going to happen to my attitude? It's flipped again. And so what's going to happen to the situation? Same story. And so now you can see the connection of chit and vritti. And so my memory track and my attitude today, because it's the chit that's impacting mind and intellect, and it's going to impact my attitude and the outcome. And so the whole process of cleaning the chit, not so easy. We've touched upon it at different times through the last several weeks, I think. But it needs very specific time in tapasya. It needs a lot of attention, and it's connected very much with this aspect of responsibility. If I'm losing my happiness today, it's not because somebody else is taking it away. It's what I've stored inside of me that's now shifting my thoughts and moving them away from the truth, from jnana. Jnana is truth. It says sat chit, truth. And the chit is jumping, and so the truth has gone far away. And I'm not even concerned about truth at that moment. When there's a memory that comes back, I'm not even thinking about true or untrue, because my memory is more important to me than the truth. That's usually the reality. This is my experience, and so my experience at that moment, I'm not recognizing that my experience is tainted with my sanskaras, is polluted with the way I've been thinking. No, my experience is right. My experience is the truth. False, not true. And so accepting again that although it is my experience, that my experience is something that I have to sort out and transform and elevate. Maybe putting things into a bigger picture today, and I see why something happened the way it did. I didn't know at the time. I didn't know the different ingredients. Maybe it's not just the bigger picture. Maybe now it's a deeper sense of compassion. And I can see what were the things that led another person saying or doing it. And my heart is now big enough to be able to say, yes, I understand. But whatever are the things that come up frequently in my chit, and there are usually a few triggers, there's not a thousand things, there's a few things that keep coming back. But whatever are those major things that keep coming back, to actually sit with Baba and to be able to clear those things, so that then I'm not doing anyone else a favor. It's not even a question of forgiving them. It's a question of finding my own happiness again and being able to keep alive truth and happiness within myself. Sat, Anand, that's the other part of the equation. Sat, Chit, Anand, the cleaning of the chit, and the Anand, the state of bliss, not even just happiness, but the state of bliss will be there. And so I'm doing it for myself, because I know that this is the only time in the Kalpa when God teaches me how to be able to do this, and God stands by my side, holding my hand and helping me do this also. Can't do it alone, but with Baba's help I can do it. And so, chit and vritti, these are the things that really for me are the key things that have come up this season. And we're seeing a beautiful, beautiful example of somebody who is demonstrating, whether it's the situation with the body or whether it's situations of discomfort and what's going on around them. Yet they keep their love for Baba shining, they keep their state of bliss shining beautifully, and so really above it all. Connected very much with vritti are three other words that you've heard Daddy use. One is tyag vritti, tyag renunciation, and so renounce. What am I renouncing? The only thing that Baba's asking us to renounce is whatever is dirty, whether in terms of food, whether in terms of habits, whether in terms of the inner habits that we have. Let go, let go, let go, let go. An attitude of being able to let go of whatever is not healthy for me, whatever is going to pollute me, whatever is going to bring me down. So again, no favor to God or anyone. If I've renounced because I'm getting fortune. Tyag, bhagya, fortune, I'm getting something more beautiful, something better. If I'm renouncing unhealthy food and I'm getting good health, that's good fortune. If I'm renouncing unhealthy attitudes or unhealthy thoughts, it's going to give me health and well-being. So renunciation, an attitude of renunciation, letting go of whatever is unclean. And then the second one is anasakt vritti. No desires, no attachments. If I'm in that frame, attitude of being able to let go, no desires. There's nothing that pulls me, which means there's nothing that holds me in bondage. Being pulled means to get into bondage. And so nothing I want, nothing that pulls me, nothing that can tie me down. And then the third stage, upram vritti, the state of being up above, the angel flying, the feet not on the ground. And so upram, up above. And again, this word vritti, all these three expressions, they're words that are used within the treatises of yoga and bhakti and all of this, but they're the things that Baba has explained and we can experiment with. But that stage, if something's pulling me, of course, how can I be up above? But let go of the past 10 years, 20 years, 10 minutes. Not even the good things. Something beautiful happened now and I'm sitting back and thinking, oh, I don't have to do anything more. Problem. Trouble. And so it's good it happened. It's great. But now move on, move on. There's more to be done. There's more to be done. And so not even hanging on to the good things that have happened. Again, that was interesting for me. It happened. Beautiful. Okay, there's more to be done. Keep moving. And so renunciation and attitude, no pulls, no desires within my attitude, and then a state of being up above within my attitude, deeply there, so that things can keep going on, whatever it is that's going on. You've seen Baba demonstrate this very dramatically. This season, it wasn't so many things happening on the stage with not so many people coming and going. But in the past, especially when it's some type of celebration, it's been 20 people here, 20 people here, and a line of people here, 100 on the stage, 100 more to come. You know, you remember that scene? And so there's a lot going on. And if you're not careful, you or your new students used to get distracted by it and say, but I didn't experience the magic and the peace of God coming. But did you see Baba? Did you see Baba's face? Somebody is dancing, somebody is singing, somebody is... And Baba's just smiling and giving drishti to 25,000 who need his attention, and is giving everyone that feeling of being content and full. If Baba got distracted, what would 25,000 people do? They'd get fidgety and they'd start leaving the hall. But Baba Upram up above. Last thing that I want to say, and that is sharing that just follow the Father in three ways: Tyag, Tapasya, Seva. The renunciation that Baba had, the Tapasya that Baba did, and the quality of service that Baba has done. And you'll be the angel. So enjoy the valley, and if there's a little bit of sorrow coming in, to take away your happiness, even just a tiny, teeny wave, then check your memory track, check your attitude, and see what's going on. Om Shanti.